This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Hour four of your Afternoon Drive on News Talk 580 and 105.9 KMJ begins now. Man, I want to do it, and I'm going to get into trouble if I do it. And this is just stupid enough.
But are we going to get fired if we do it, or is it just an apology if we do it? I have no idea what he's talking about, by the way.
I'm not going to do breaking.
Okay.
Because I feel like breaking needs to be reserved for, like, local or national acute crises. And that's not what this is. But it is developing news.
Good choice.
Just released the U.S. Navy's official intelligence report from Washington, D.C. How many months now have we been hearing about airmen and seamen and unidentified aerial phenomena? 120 incidents in two decades. Not originating from any known American military or other advanced U.S. government technology. The report is out. And the intelligence community of the United States government does not believe. They say that no evidence has been found that the aerial phenomena witnessed by Navy pilots in recent years are alien spacecraft.
Nope. This is shenanigans. Look, the very anxious Chihuahua part of me says, whew, okay, we're safe because I just watched Quiet Place 2 and it never ends well. However, I don't know that I believe it. The universe is a big place. They don't want us to know their secret.
But this is not saying, first of all, Joshua Weekly, standing by to screen your calls at 490-5858, agrees with you, Skip. I have to agree with Carl Sagan that it would be the most myopic hubris of a curious mind to look at the incredible vastness of the universe in which we exist and come to the conclusion that we are the only intelligent life. However, I believe that these are not alien spacecraft.
Really?
And here's why.
Because you're a fuddy-duddy?
Because there's a logical reason. We know we are able to observe enough of the local universe, the solar system in which we exist, to know that none of the planets currently orbiting our sun are inhabited by intelligent life. We've looked at them a lot. We've landed things on them. We've done everything that we can. There's nobody living on Mars. There's nobody living on Venus. Mercury is uninhabitable by any kind of higher life form. And the further that you get from the sun, the increasingly unlikely, it's increasingly unlikely that intelligent life would evolve on those planets simply because of the conditions on those planets. So we know that we don't have intelligent life in our solar system. How close is the next nearest star to Earth?
I don't have any idea. Are we talking about travel distance like miles, or what about one of those like little leaps that they do when they hit the hyperdrive?
No. I'm talking about real things here.
Oh, so those aren't even real. See, this is my understanding. Like, I thought that might actually be a real thing.
The next nearest star to Earth is Proxima Centauri. 4.2 light years away. And so if you're trying to kind of map out in your head, like what does that really mean? The sun around which we orbit, Sol, is 8 light minutes away. because it takes 8 minutes from when the sun leaves, from when the light leaves the surface of the sun for that radiation to land on Earth. It's approximately 8 minutes. So it is 8 light minutes away. The next nearest star is 4.2 light years away.
Okay. I'm trying to break this down into pieces, you know, pieces I can chew off, like inches versus miles. But I think I'm keeping up. I skipped the grade where you did like fractions and ratios. So
our sun is 8 light minutes away.
Okay, got it.
Proxima Centauri is 2,228,544 light minutes away.
Okay, so what I'm getting from this is that you're saying anybody smart enough, any alien life form smart enough to want to come, they just don't want to come see us. We can't even figure out how to live on the moon.
In order to make that trip, you have to have advanced technologically way beyond what we have here on Earth. If you have advanced that far technologically, you're capable of observing us without us detecting you. If you want our resources, you've probably got the technology to come and take them, whether we like it or not. And you may or may not believe that it is appropriate to contact a Type Zero civilization before they have gotten past some milestone that shows that they will eventually evolve to the point where they're able to be a part of the greater universe.
Like we have to, pass the admissions test on our own before we get the access to like the whole intergalactic.
One of the things that Gene Roddenberry imagined, and this is one of those like science fiction. May or may not eventually play out to be correct, but it's a damn good idea. One of the things that Gene Roddenberry put forward was something called the Prime Directive, and it was the idea that nobody from the spacefaring planets, Starfleet, that they would not in any way interfere with a pre-warp civilization. And so the line in the sand for whether or not you as a species were allowed to know that there were all these other worlds out there that had all connected and were doing business and engaging.
It's like a secret society.
Funky things with little green men and whatever. Was whether or not you had developed a warp drive. Because once you developed a warp drive, you were capable of getting off your planet and exploring other worlds. And so now we need to talk to you and like loop you in on how things work in the greater universe. Gene Roddenberry was right about that, because until you get to that point, you don't matter to anything not inside your own solar system. You're never going to get there. It takes too long. We can't travel anywhere near the speed of light. We can't get anywhere near Proxima Centauri, and that's the next nearest thing. I think that what we are seeing is I think we are seeing some kind of visual artifact that is the result of the stress placed on these pilots.
So it is interesting because it is primarily naval pilots that are making these reports. What we know about, for instance, chronic fatigue that we've talked about a lot is that it can cause cognitive delays that are similar to being drunk, and how many drunk people have seen something or thought they saw something. So I think there's a piece of that. The other part that it could be is in the report, they were absolutely sure that this wasn't American technology. This had no ties to American technology or testing, for instance, that could explain away these 120 incidents. One senior official said, though, that although they don't think it's American technology, there's some worry amongst intelligence and military officials that China or Russia could be experimenting with hypersonic technology. Russia investing heavily in hypersonics, believing that that could be something that would provide an ability to evade American missile defense technology. And China has been putting some of their hypersonic weaponry on display in military parades.
So Here's my problem with that. China builds garbage. The only functional aircraft carrier that China has is 25-year-old Russian surplus. Just like they couldn't make steel that was serviceable for the Bay Bridge, just like despite their centuries-long habit of ignoring intellectual property law to make knockoffs of everything in America, they can never quite get their knockoffs right. It's always a little too cheap. It's always a little too shoddy. China's not building anything hypersonic and flying it over to the United States. They're not that good of engineers. The Russians might be, but I think that if Vladimir Putin had control of weaponry like this, I don't think that he could hold his tongue. I think that they are unmanned probes that have come through possibly like time, possibly a dimensional barrier. And I think that the reason that we're seeing so many of them right now is because I think that we are on the precipice of some significant singular development in society.
Really? That's not anxiety provoking at all. Do you want to meet future you, or do you want to go back and have a talk with old you?
I would be, if I could go back and warn young me about a few things, I got a list. A very, very long list. Don't go into radio!
Buy more Apple stock.
If I was given the ability to see across time, I'm the least interesting person. I've got so many other things. I got to brush up on my Aramaic because there's a certain rabbi wandering around about 2,000 years ago.
No, that but I mean, I'm with. Talking about you, future you or old you.
But if I've got the ability to do that, I don't want to
look at you. I ask you one question. He changes the rules.
I'm giving you an honest answer. I don't care about talking to me. I know what's going on in my head, and it's not pretty. But I think it is much more likely that it's because we're on this edge with quantum computing that I think that what we're getting is observers who are here to see the singularity.
Okay. But we're not supposed to touch. They can't touch or change anything because of the butterfly effect.
Something like that.
I need to go back and watch Quantum Leap or maybe Umbrella Academy again.
There's never a bad time for more Quantum Leap, but the one thing that I'm confident of is that it's not Little Green Man.
It's a new era in news talk, only on News Talk 580 1059 KMJ.
So yes, Jason Oxford questioning on Facebook Live. I am going with time travel over aliens to explain the UFOs that the government has said are definitely not aliens because they haven't eaten us or stolen the core of our planet from underneath us.
But if you want to see a good alien movie, Quiet Place 2 is really good. Okay, so...
spoilers.
It's really good. You know there's aliens if you've seen Quiet Place 1. So, I'm going to need some high-pitched stuff, though, in case those aliens show up. Back to the aliens. Unfortunately, some people are going to be very disappointed about this government report that we shared with you. The article is up on Facebook, also on Twitter. There, rest assured, Philip, there's going to be plenty of people who are like, nope, shenanigans, they're keeping it quiet because it's just not safe and we're not allowed to know. However, there's an alternate approach or argument, if you will. And this is more of the Pacific Rim argument. Pacific Rim, the amazing theatrical experience that had aliens coming up from the inner core of the earth. And only Jax Teller of Sons of Anarchy and why am I blanking on his name from Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia could save us.
Mm.
They're coming from the center of the earth.
Like Godzilla?
Is that where Godzilla came from?
They have a whole network of caverns under the earth.
I don't know the origins of Godzilla.
Well, nobody knows the true origins, but that's where he lives.
Okay. Well, this, I guess, could be similar. I don't know. I was really distracted by Charlie Hunnam. They come up from the earth.
Okay.
The oceans, maybe. We only know about, 10% of the oceans. Maybe that's where the aliens are from. Have you seen octopuses? Octopi?
I have seen octopi and squids, and I even saw the tail of a whale once.
How about the dangly things on see, he knows. Josh angler is waving fish. At it. Is that what they're called? Angler fish, where they have the light that I saw it in real life once at the Monterey Bay Aquarium and then also on Finding Nemo. There is some scary, weird stuff down there.
You know that those scary fish with the big bitey teeth and the little lantern mm-hmm. hanging off are like that big, right?
Doesn't matter. Scary.
You got like 15 of them come after you at once.
I mean, just, yeah, no thanks. I don't go much deeper than like my waist in the ocean. Tasty treat here could be confused for a seal. They're sharks. The point being, there are valid arguments that say that those UFOs aren't coming from space. They're coming from the sea.
Okay.
The ocean. An ex-cop said it. Must be true.
So, Mr. Heseltine spent 6 years with the RAF police, 24 years with the British Transport Police, and launched a national database for law enforcement across the pond to report UFOs back in 2002. He says, it sounds crazy, but if you think about it, we only know like 5% of the ocean, and we know more about the surface of the moon or Mars than our own ocean, so it seems to me that the UFOs could be coming in and out of the water.
Sounds crazy, but if you think about it, we only know about 5%. I mean, that makes sense. I've seen Aquaman. All of my stuff comes from movies.
He suggests that there is a connection between the unidentified aerial phenomenon and nuclear power generation. Not just in the old-fashioned, you know, Chernobyl sense, but also mm-hmm. in like the submarine and large craft sense. Quote, there's a massive correlation between UFOs being seen near nuclear facilities, whether it's aircraft carriers, submarines, storage areas, or power plants, and that would seem to indicate that they perhaps don't like when those so-called nuclear weapons show up.
He is proposing that they're actually, these aliens are actually environmentalists. That's what this is. This is an alien force trying to make sure that we, quote, don't destroy the beautiful planet.
So they're going to come bother us about a method of power generation that has been repeatedly proven to be incredibly safe as long as you don't let Russians engineer the control rods, that we store none of the debris from anywhere near the ocean, but they're not showing up to have a chat about the Pacific garbage patch.
Look, I didn't say it made sense. We did a whole story yesterday about the Pacific Fisher and about how trying to save California from catching on fire was somehow bad for it. I'm not saying that the logic makes sense.
What I'm hearing is environmentalists are idiots, even if they fly UFOs.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
This
It's the Afternoon Drive Podcast with Philip and Skip from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
We have got two different kinds of kids to talk about here. The kind that, when they get ungrounded, will probably go on to do something with their lives. And the kind that probably makes their grandparents wish they bought their kids condoms. But Anthony Fauci's book is back in the news. That 80-page juggernaut, Expect the Unexpected, 10 Lessons on Truth, Service, and the Way Forward. A product of the National Geographic Books Group. Expected in stores on November 2nd. The tip-off on this came when the book was spotted on the Amazon and Barnes & Noble's websites. Amazon and Barnes & Noble's have pulled down the listing.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was posted for pre-sale, $18 on both websites. National Geographic has confirmed the removal to DailyMail.com, who had reported that the book sale had posted accidentally and prematurely. Quote, the book was developed by National Geographic Books in connection with an upcoming National Geographic documentary film about Dr. Fauci. He will not earn any royalties from its publication. And apparently the book features interviews that Fauci has conducted over the course of his 3.5 decades as the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. This is 80 pages of previously available content being sold as a promotional tie-in to a documentary about a bureaucrat. I'm bored just saying that out loud.
So we know what won't be coming up in your, hey, you might want to watch this, Philip, on Netflix or Disney Plus or wherever it comes out.
Yeah, I'll admit to a little bit of passive curiosity about Dr. Fauci simply because we've had to see his face and hear his voice so many times over the past year and a half that there's just a sense of what's this cat about? Because I'm not one of those people who knee jerks to he got everything wrong and therefore he's stupid and we should stone him to death. But I don't think that the good doctor's ambition has been exhausted as yet. I think he wants a book deal. I think he wants a consulting gig on cable news. I think he wants to go around, do the talk show circuit and get some of those pats on the back that normally a bureaucrat, even at the top of their game, would simply not ever get.
Right. Well, it's like the spotlight, right? Like the girl from high school that was ignored that is suddenly popular. Okay. He is having his she's all that moment. That's okay. However, they say it was posted accidentally and prematurely. I mean, why? Somebody was a super Fauci fan and got ahead of themselves. I mean, the fact we talked about it yesterday and we were kind of going back and forth of like who would buy it. And you had mentioned that it would probably be folks that want to put it on their bookshelf. I'm also guessing there will be some that will buy it to then burn it along with their masks. Whatever floats your boat. I guess I'm just confused as to it was just a typo on putting it up online.
No, I think that it was one side or the other kicked it out. And quality control, competition control, whatever you want to call it, the folks who were paid to watch the competition saw it go up and immediately got it. You know, hey, we got to get this online quick. Go. Is Anthony Fauci Is Anthony Fauci risking his credibility for a Sally Field moment?
Man, I don't think so, and here's why. People, this goes back to our buzz question at KMJNow.com, where you can vote on whether or not Fauci should be fired over the emails. The people that read the emails that hate Fauci will say Fauci is terrible and he's a flip-flopper. The people that read the emails who like Fauci will say he's a man that was trying to adjust his approach with the ongoing and developing science and understanding of something we hadn't seen before. I think that Fauci is going to be able to retire when he feels like it. He's probably getting a burst of attention that he never would have gotten before. And at this point, I don't think he's going to have a meltdown that makes everybody go, oh boy, this guy went a little loopy or off the rails. People who hate him will hate him.
See, and I don't think Fauci's going to completely disgrace himself. I think that he's gotten a taste for the spotlight. I think that he's enjoying being the pretty girl at the bar for a minute.
Yeah.
I'm trying to imagine the point in the conversation where you go to a career bureaucrat and say, we want to make a documentary about your life. Had it not been for this pandemic, literally nobody would have any idea who you are. But instead, we want to stick a camera on your face.
Well, what's interesting, though, is I think we've seen this with politics, right, in terms of it becoming this newfound fandom. Whether you're, you know, Team Trump or maybe you're somebody who is ride or die for Elizabeth Warren, whatever, there's been this new attachment for people that don't have the same sort of affinity for sports. And I think that we are seeing that just by virtue of he was in that orbit, that there are people that are just kind of geeking out over Fauci. Now, it just happens to be Fauci here, but I mean, I geek out a bit over the RBG stuff, right? There's people that get nerdy about whatever your nerdy stuff is. And so I think he is just the latest example of that, of an unlikely kind of icon or figure. I know you rolled your eyes at icon. I don't mean... It's true. Dude, why do you think you and I got into radio? Because we are constantly trying to get attention and approval. Don't lie to me and say you didn't.
No, I got into radio because somebody told me if I was going to keep being a pain, I should at least show up and do something productive.
Yeah, and then you continue to show up and get better and do something productive. I mean,
have you ever said tile?
No, but I've had other horrible jobs.
It sucks.
I
don't have any skills. I work in construction or I do this.
Every single, well, either that or you're a narcissist. I don't know which one you fall into. You're the not cute girl that finally got attention, or you're a narcissist. I'm going to go with the one that has a little more heart. You're the one that constantly wants approval and admiration.
No, it's a kind of benign narcissism.
As long as it doesn't go into like the antisocial narcissism. Like where you kill people and think you're the best person in the world.
No. I really dislike jail food. I'm not going to behave that way. Yeah.
You're such a liar, because you said earlier that if you ever got arrested and went into the county jail, that you wouldn't even need to be like have a real negative experience. You'd just need the bad mom, like the angry, upset mom look. And you would be like, oh, man. So right there, you like approval.
I like Sheriff Mims' approval, because I think that she's an exceptional leader and a pillar in the community. If the guy in the next cell's disappointed in me, I don't care.
Well, that's understandable. Philip, you have more heart than you let on, but it's okay. I won't let anybody know. He's such a jerk. It's fine. Total narcissist.
Like I said, benign narcissism, easy killer. There's a balance here.
I don't remember what we were talking about. Oh, Fauci. Yeah, I called him an icon. You rolled your eyes, and that's what happened. Fauci is just the latest example.
I disagree with her, and she attacks me.
That is not true. Fauci, it's because I'm emotional. Check the calendar. Anyway, Fauci, people are fanboying out on him. People fanboy out over weird things. He's the latest.
I agree that people fan out over weird things. I think that it's weird that we've got a career bureaucrat getting this level of attention. I understand how we arrived here. I think it's amazing that the reaction from Amazon and Best Buy to the level of interest that has been expressed was to pull the book down. Take the pre-orders, idiots. People are throwing money at you. Strike while the iron's hot. You want to know why brick and mortar bookstores are failing? Because of crap like this. Barnes & Noble, put the thing back up. Let all the people that are excited about Dr. Tony buy the 80-page tie-in to the documentary that nobody's going to watch.
You know why you can't appreciate this? You're a tall dude. Fauci's a short guy.
What, like, in the world does that have to do with it?
This is what has to do with it, with like, why, because you said, is he having like the Sally Fields moment? He hasn't been able to have like that sense of like, you're a tall guy.
I'm a fat guy too.
But still, like, you put your name into a dating site, if that unfortunately ever happened, like, girls wouldn't like immediately disqualify you because you're under 5'8".
No, I'm not going to get DQ'd for being short. I'm going to get DQ'd for having the physique of a mall Santa.
Dad bods are in.
No, dad bods are in. Chris Pratt with a 34-inch waist is in.
Nope, dad bods. Dad bods all day.
The dude, if I end up single again, the only way that I end up hooking up with anybody is if I bump into a chick that's got the same thing wrong with her as the bartender in Bad Santa.
If you miss any part of the show, you can get the podcast available at kmjnow.com. And as you are getting ready to enjoy the rest of your evening, and we'll hand it over to Mark Levin, I give you an opportunity to look at your offspring, and maybe if they're too big, you know, they're older, they've moved out, you can reflect on them, on those tender ages before they hit the double digits. Maybe specifically 9 and 4, and think, what is the most expensive thing they broke of mine? My computer. It was a laptop. My son and his friend, like, I don't know how it happened, but the screen got jacked up a little bit. And that's about as far as it goes.
Okay. Well, out in Utah, West Valley City, two girls, 9 and 4, were fortunately, blessedly uninjured earlier this week after a car crash involving a tractor trailer. Fortunately, the driver of the truck was also unhurt. The parents became aware of the accident the girls were in when they were awakened by a phone call from police informing them that the girls took the keys to the SUV and set out for California to go play with dolphins.
Yeah, they were wearing their seatbelts, and the 9-year-old decided she would drive, probably because it's a little bit easier to reach the pedals when you're 9. She didn't, well, actually, I mean, she made it farther than I guess I would say for, you know, some, about a couple miles.
8 miles?
Yeah.
They got 8 miles
away. 8 miles in. I'm trying to think of if my kids could figure out where to drive 8 miles away. Fortunately, oh gosh, this could have turned into such a bad story. Fortunately, everybody's okay. But here's my question, besides them getting grounded. Inevitably, somebody's going to step forward and be like, oh my gosh, they're so cute. Let's go have them meet dolphins, because like, they really wanted to. Do you let them go meet the dolphins? Or are they dolphin ban until the age of 18? Because you can't reinforce this behavior.
Here's the thing. I agree that you cannot reinforce bad behavior, but I think that there is an opportunity to form the correct impression, and that started probably the first time they bumped a truck as they were making their 8-mile drive. People started calling the cops immediately. Fortunately, nobody got hurt here. But at some point, a 9-year-old little girl had to look a state trooper in the face and explain where she was and what she was doing. And then that state trooper had to call her parents. That child experienced a deeper fear than anybody short of a man walking the Green Mile will feel in their lifetime.
I don't know. It depends on if that kid has ever, you know, we don't know what the parenting and punishment has been in the past. Because this was a kid who thought it was okay to grab the keys. My kids know well, you do not. Like, so, again, I go back to, you know, how did the parents handle it? That poor trooper, though, had to have been thinking somebody laced his coffee.
My first assumption would be like somebody got hurt. Like I'm going to find mom passed out in the back seat.
Right. But when you walk up and you look and it, like, I call that my does not compute moment.
Yeah.
And they're just like, what? Huh? What day is it? Where am I at? Just the complete shutdown and inability to go, is this real?
What's the worst thing you did when you were nine?
I'm a square bear and was always afraid of getting in trouble. I drove the riding lawnmower into a tree because I wasn't paying attention. But it was an itty bitty little dent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I probably never even told them until just now.
Your dad's gonna send
no, you. No, I wasn't. I was not a
You were not a wild child.
Imagine that.
I think that probably the closest that I got to this at that age is I took off on my bike at 2 o'clock in the morning to go to a friend's house. And I mean, I left town, man. I rode across Los Altos, which would be like riding across Mayberry. Like the cops didn't even carry guns back then. This was not a dangerous place. Well, I got tired on my way home. So I stopped at the library. For those of you that have any idea of the geography or where I was, I stopped at the Woodland Library on Foothill Boulevard and I went to the payphone and I called the house and told my mom to come and get me, that I was hanging out at the library, that I had been out on my bike, and that I was tired. And
did she get in trouble? Did you learn?
She picks me up. She puts the bike in the trunk of the car, drives back to the house, walks around the back of the car, takes out a box cutter, slashes both of the bicycle tires all the way through, and tells me to go to bed.
I like your mom's style.